This podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Welcome to another edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. This is Jimmy Gill. Great to be joined today by Rutgers baseball head coach Steve Owens for his weekly update. The Scarlet Knights split four games in College Park, Maryland this weekend. Lost 13-8 on Friday before sweeping the Saturday doubleheader 9-3 and 8-7. Terrapins won on Sunday 9-5. So, Coach, what were your takeaways from the series?
I thought it was a very exciting series. The first day was we were right on the cusp of expanding a lead and maybe on our way to winning on a Friday, and things kind of fell apart for us a little bit. Battled back a little bit, but that game kind of got away, and that was a little bit of a bummer. But we're playing four game weekends, so our guys came back, very strong on Saturday and played a complete day, not just a good inning or a good game. They played a complete day. I was really proud of them for that. And then Sunday we just pitched. We got off to a bad start pitching, which happened the week before too, it was tough. We got the game back to one, I think, in the fifth or sixth, and then they expanded it again. So it was a tough weekend for all the pitchers to pitch because the field was playing small. The wind was blowing out. It was warm. A lot of balls in the air went over the fence.
So there ended up being a combined 20 home runs in the weekend series, four games. So Chris Brito did have four of them. He was named a National Player of the Week from Collegiate Baseball today. He ended up with 9 hits and 18 at-bats, slugging percentage of 1.278, 23 total bases, 9 RBIs. Coach, how have you seen Chris evolve as a hitter in these 2 years you've worked with him?
Been great. He's become more of a complete hitter, as you can see, with his batting average. So he's kind of checking all the boxes right now with scoring runs, getting hits, hitting for a high average. His power numbers are off the charts. His RBI numbers are off the charts. His total bases are off the charts. And he's swinging at good pitches and not missing them. And he's not chasing. And so he's put a lot of tools in his toolbox, and he's, like I said, he's checking a lot of boxes right now, doing a lot of really good stuff, seeing the ball well and looking very comfortable, relaxed and confident. And we hope it stays like that for 11 more weekends.
So overall, through 8 games, team is averaging 7.2 runs per game. That's tied with Michigan for the Big Ten lead. What is your thoughts right now on the offense 2 weeks in?
Well, it's been great. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of. I think Kyle and Cog have done a good job with the hitters. They're prepared, and we've made improvements from last year. And we're pretty big and physical, so there's some power through our lineup, which is kind of exciting too. So we're hitting for a decent average. We've hit a lot of home runs and doubles, and I think we're putting starting pitchers, kind of in a tough spot too. We're putting good pitch counts on them earlier in games and getting into bullpens and stuff like that. So, we're not perfect. We're striking out too much. We could move runners and get some guys in who are in scoring position without hits. At times we give away an easy inning. We're punching out looking too often, but we've faced really good pitching too. It's a challenge, but I think the guys certainly are doing a good job. And if we could keep scoring at this level, we're really happy with our progress and our chances of winning.
But now breaking down the series at Maryland, the Friday game jumped out to a 3-0 lead against a high draft prospect in Sean Burke. But Harry Rutkowski, 4 walks, just uncharacteristic for him. What'd you see from Harry, and how do you think he can bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, Harry, bad for Harry is good for a lot of other guys, right? So he wasn't perfect on Friday. I think they had a good approach on him, and he made a couple mistakes. And I think the big one was, I think he gave up 3 home runs, but the one that hurt was the 3-run homer, and that kind of, changed momentum a little bit. But Harry did, he competed, just made a couple mistakes, which happens, when you're out there. on a Friday and you're trying to get hitters out and there's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement around the ballpark, you know, every now and then you make mistakes. So I'm not disappointed. Like, it's part of baseball. It happens. We picked him up the next day and we're excited to give him the ball again on Friday and have him go do his job again.
And then team did bounce back another 3-0 lead on Saturday. And that was a 7-inning game. Does it change as far as the approach in a 7-inning game? And how was Ben Wroecki able to pitch pretty well in that game?
Well, Ben's been very consistent. So he's pitched well. He hasn't given up a lot of hits. He doesn't walk guys, controls the running game well. So he's been very good so far this year in his two starts. 7 innings is a little bit shorter. Hitting into a double play or not taking advantage of your scoring opportunities, you know, could do you in a 7-inning game. You try not to play it differently, but when you start the game, it's like the 3rd inning of a 9-inning game already. So it goes by pretty quick. And you know, offensively, we may sacrifice bunt more or do little things to try to create something early, because you may only turn your lineup over 3 times on a good day. So, but, you know, again, a game's a game. This one's shorter. And, you know, we did a good job of expanding that lead late, which helped us not have to bring Brian Fitzpatrick in the game and allowed Kyle Muller to stay out there. And he did a super job. And then we were able to use Fitzy to close, you know, really close 2nd game. So that was important to keep that game, to expand the lead a little bit. You know, we try to teach our guys every run counts. Like, if you're winning by a little bit, you want to expand it because it changes, you know, what pitchers you may or may not have to use to complete the game. And then it changes the next game, and then it changes the next game. So everything's related in a long series like that.
Moving to the nightcap, it was a 8-7 game and 9-inning regulation. Maryland this time did jump out on top, but the team was able to come back. What were you able to see from that offensively as far as going against Maryland? And then Brent Teller, what have you seen from him through 2 starts?
Well, the 2nd game was a really exciting game going right down to the last pitch. So there was a lot of good stuff that happened in that game. And being on your feet from, you know, 9 a.m. till 7:30 at night is difficult on all parties. That's just a long time to play. But it was a great day, you know, probably one of the better days that I've had as a coach. You know, they're very good. Their pitching is, you know, they got really good pitching. And, you know, again, we knew the games could be high scoring because of the field conditions. And that's what happened. You know, Brent struggled a little bit with his command. You know, he got hit a little bit. We're going to make some changes and kind of tweak some things a little bit, try to do things, you know, go about business with him a little bit different, get some work done in the bullpen this week and evaluate some stuff and see if we can get him on track. We need more length out of our starters. You know, it's important. We have a good bullpen and we're excited about our bullpen, but we need our starting pitchers to be able to have all 3 or 4 of their pitches and be able to get through lineups, you know, 3 times before we have to turn it over to the pen.
So you mentioned in game 1 how the team was able to expand the lead and Kyle Muller just went the rest of the way to finish, and that saved Brian Fitzpatrick for game 2. So what qualities does he have that make him a closer?
He understands baseball, number 1. And then he's talented. I mean, he's 6'7" lefty with good stuff, good velocity, good spin. He doesn't give in. We've put him in tough spots, pressure situations. He seems to handle it, relish it. So we, you know, he has trusted himself and his teammates are excited when he's out there. And so far he's been great. Kyle has set him up twice, you know, once by completing a game where we didn't have to use Brian. And then, you know, back in game 1, I think against Indiana, he gave us a clean inning in a tough spot in a close game and handed it over to Fitzy then. So those 2 guys have been really good in the pen.
So that ended up being the 2nd time Rutgers has swept a Big Ten doubleheader since joining the conference. And then moving to the Sunday game, did score first with a run in the 1st inning. Josh Rodriguez had a pretty good weekend. What have you seen from Josh so far?
Josh has been one of the more consistent players on the team. He's worked really hard in the past year. Learned a lot, I think, from his freshman year and from some failure, and has has really transformed himself into a special player to watch. So we're excited about his start to the season. You know, he's been putting himself in a better situation to go out in the outfield and play defense as well as hit, but he's commanded the batter's box. He's been in control of the tempo of his at-bats. He's swinging at good pitches and not missing them. He's getting on base at a high level, and then he's hitting for power. He's a presence, you know, at the top of the lineup. So he's set the tone for us almost every day. And there was a lot of big hits, you know, and there was a lot of big hits all weekend, you know, huge hits from a lot of different players. I think, you know, a real important hit for Pete Cerruto had a 2 RBI single with 2 outs, which was a big hit. I don't remember what game that was in. That was a big hit. And then, you know, Brito and Rodriguez and Sweeney and DiGiorgio all had multiple big hits. You know, and some of our other guys kind of grinded out things at times. Grant Shulman did a couple good things on base too, and Nyster had a solid weekend. So we got production from several guys for sure.
The lineup did fall behind early in that Sunday game, but came back and made it a 2-run game. Is that just sort of what you want to see from this team, resilience all the way through?
Well, yeah, we need to play hard from this time the game starts until the time the game ends. You know, that's just a basic philosophy that, you know, they don't add the score up until 27 outs, and a lot of stuff can happen. So, you know, you have to keep playing because the game can turn really quickly. And even, you know, even in a loss, you can get another good reliever in there. If you get back in the game, you can put 25 pitches on, you know, a setup guy. You can bring in a left-handed specialist and put a couple hits on him, and you get eyes on these guys that wouldn't be in the game in meaningful situations if you can get back in it. So, you know, I'm happy that the guys we've showed that we can jump out early, we can expand, that we can come from behind, and that we can, you know, we can have a lead in the middle and expand it, and we can win in close 1-run games too. So kind of the whole gamut has kind of showed up for us so far in a lot of different ways.
And lastly, on the Sunday game, you mentioned after the game how Justin Sinibaldi really showed something to the staff. What did he show to everybody?
He was nervous because he's a freshman, and that's a tough spot. But he showed, you know, composure. He pounded the strike zone. He threw a good fastball and really spun a breaking ball in the strike zone and out of the strike zone when needed. He controlled the game very well and settled it down for us. And you know, he's a big kid, like 6'4", 6'5", lefty, you know, young kid, still figuring things out. But that's got to be a big confidence booster for him. And that puts him in the mix for continued meaningful opportunities because he earned it.
And now looking ahead, Scarlet Knights will head home to Baton Field for the first time this season for a 3-game series against Ohio State starting on Friday. Ohio State won 3 out of 4 against Illinois their first week. And then last week they were in Minneapolis. They split 4 games, 2 against Iowa, 2 against Nebraska. So, and they're usually an NCAA caliber team. What is the early look at Ohio State?
Looking at them right now, just kind of getting around to that. You know, again, it takes a little bit to get, you know, finish up one weekend, move on to the next. But we know how good they are. You know, one of the top teams in the conference year in, year out. Big physical kids, you know, power arms, and a deep roster. So, you know, we're happy we're at home, you know, not having to travel this week. Hopefully the weather cooperates and allows us to play as scheduled so we don't have to play another doubleheader. We're excited for the opportunity. We're gonna rest up and then, you know, start our preparation tomorrow and hopefully be ready for a fun weekend.
And then this will be the first weekend series against the Big Ten team since Baton Field was redone in the fall of 2019. So, Coach, can you just tell us how, with the fences moved in and with the new turf, how the field has been playing in practice?
Yeah, I mean, the field's beautiful. The field itself is beautiful. You know, it's kind of a state-of-the-art type turf. There's 3 or 4 different length turfs in there. It's striped, the mound, the bullpens, and the home plate area, and all the skin, the old skin area on a regular field are all a different type of turf with olive pits as the inlay. from California. So it kind of plays like clay. It's very firm to run on and it's fast. So it's a little different than the traditional rubber bouncy turf that we all play on. You know, the warning track has a different, you know, different feel to it. And it's kind of cool. It's well branded. The fences have been reconfigured, so they're more in line with a regular, you know, Division I baseball venue size wise, modern day type field. The lines didn't change. The gaps are like 370. It's like 395 to center field. We took a little bit of the foul territory away and, you know, have done several other enhancements, you know, over the course of the past year. So we're excited to play there. You know, it's been a good practice venue for us and we're comfortable out there. So looking forward to having the opportunity to play home games.
And all three games this weekend will be streamed on Big Ten Network Plus and WRSU. Rutgers Student Radio will have the call. So Rutgers versus Ohio State starts Friday at 2 p.m. We look forward to that. And Coach, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast.